Hi there, and welcome to episode 160 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Bryan. What?
Sorry.
You're welcome.
I just said welcome.
I'm James Brown, the man whose body doubled with the Counts off of Sesame Street when they lost the puppet for a few weeks. And I'm joined by...
I'm sorry.
God, it's an amazing start. And I'm joined by Professor Alex Connor.
Congratulations, now, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Who has double the number of bodies than he used to in a hole in his forest. And Mrs. ADHD, whose body doubles as a mold for an action man. She actually used to model as Ken, but her muscles are now too big. Alex, hi.
Hello, James. Hello, James.
What? Doubling. That's the joke. It's doubling.
Body doubling, James.
I was on the wrong script. Brilliant. That's the joke in rabbit ears, is it doubling?
It's excellent.
It's weak. How are you both, Mrs. ADHD first?
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, we know this.
What a shit. I don't want to be alive. How about you?
No.
No.
Alex, Professor Alex.
Actually, pretty bad. No, only joking. I'm excellent. Thank you, James. Yeah, all good. The numbers in turn tells me... I want to make sure I get this right. They tell me that nobody cares about metrics. What's wrong with you? One of whom has sent us a letter.
Make the grammar's poor again, then, is it? That none of that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right, James. It's from a... I know, check that as well. I should probably... Yeah. It's from a Robert from Kidderminster. It says, I listened to your episode on higher education. Why are you always so mean to James about this topic? They have much more experience than you, as they were both high for their entire education. I think that should have been James.
As they were both high.
He's dead. Give him some slack. I mean, it's difficult to write a letter when you don't have hands.
Maybe he's going with gender neutral pronouns, which is, you know.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
It does feel like that letter was making light of substance use disorders. I think we're probably. Sorry, Robert. I've had a real one. Can I read it out, James?
No.
Please do.
Thank you. It's from Ronnie from New Zealand. I haven't checked. I hope someone has.
I have.
It says, I love your podcasts. As a 57-year-old who only just realised last year that I probably have ADHD, yes, I know, bit thick. I want to make it clear Ronnie wrote that. I'm not adding it. They have been lifesavers.
It is on brand for you, though.
Yeah, well, that's a bit thick, Ronnie. But I had to share, was listening to the ADHD and driving episode the other day, whilst driving, of course, and eating nuts and drinking a cup of tea. When I got to the part about not drinking and eating while driving, then I dropped a nut and the phone rang. So I lose the next bit, lol. And I was also picking crumbs out of the steering wheel detail with a toothpick at the time. Just wondering, do you think I have ADHD? Seriously, keep up the good work, guys. It really is a lifesaver. Dropped a nut to ding, right?
You're right. It is. I also think, just if you're not sure, just that whole letter, take it into your psychiatrist.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm pretty sure they'll say you've got ADHD. I just want to quickly say, it was Robert from Kidderminster's birthday 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I forgot again, second year on the trot, where it was on the family WhatsApp chat, and then afterwards I felt like a shit person because I forgot my dead dad's birthday.
Yeah.
Despite being a psychoeducation expert of the thing that means that's going to happen neurologically.
Yes.
Christ, you two, honestly.
Mm. Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that was from before.
Oh, right, sorry.
just the self-loathing and self-doubt I have to deal with.
Sorry.
It's all about me.
Of course.
So as usual, Tarquin, our metrics intern, has handed his polo mallet to Sam's dad for this chucker to give me some information about another city we've got listeners in. The wonderful city of Derby in the UK. I used to be a builder in Sinfin with my dad. That's not part of it. It's our Thirth, James, highest city for listeners. Tarquin says, in his note, written with this Fulgor Nocturnus pen, there is a phenomenon, easy for me to say, known as the Derby Pyramid Scheme, which isn't an actual pyramid scheme, but Derby's rumored to have a hidden pyramid built by Egyptians who went on some holidays there in ancient times. Yeah, it's supposedly buried under the Derby Arboretum, Sam. Treasures of untold value, mummified body of Derby.
Oh, it's your joke bit. Oh my God, I got so excited then. I thought there was a treasure hunt and, oh my God.
She's well into ancient Egypt because of a game. I bought her a mystery game.
I fucking love it at the minute.
And Sam and Laura spent 7 hours hyper-focusing and made good progress, to be fair.
So were Sean Pack and Sam. Presumably they were... ancient Egyptians were aliens, probably. Is there?
Oh,
is
my mum would tell you all about that. Yeah. Oh my God, she knows all about aliens.
Nose is a word, isn't it? Nose.
Anyway, I'm going to move this on because I'm podcast daddy. As usual, this Alex teasing me for 2 years about being a fake professor and then becoming one himself of a podcast is a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last time around was about ADHD and higher education. And this week we're going to be discussing ADHD and body doubling.
Oh, yeah.
The 3 points.
That should have been your one. Sorry, but that should have been your hello. Hi. Oh, no. Sorry. It's a different podcast.
I can't.
I'm enjoying this.
I just want to say I haven't written this next bit. I don't know if I can.
No, you can't read that out. That was
okay. So the 3 parts, including the Joe Joyce in evidence. He fought on Saturday and was very bad. Alex the psycho, education monkey. In part 2, we give our personal reflections and some whopping great tips on education, it says Alex, but actually it will be on body doubling. And then we'll answer questions. Yes, yes, see, it happens to you too, doesn't it? We'll answer. Oh, fucking hell, Sam. We're going to have to bleep that now.
We are going to have to bleep that.
What?
I'll tell you after.
It's in the script.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a joke for James in the script.
It was there as a joke and I didn't notice it. We'll have to be
one thing we can't do is read that name out.
And we can't talk about who he is because it will be obvious. We'll bleep that.
I'll tell you after.
In the final section, we'll answer questions in the section. Somebody did suggest a name for the final section. I need to look back through Instagram because I've forgotten it.
Stop.
Do that again. Fucking hell. I spend hours editing this podcast.
I'm so sorry.
You know this, and you deliberately fucking put things in that you know I'm going to have to cut out.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, Alex, you annoy me as much as 2 people, possibly 3. So what is body doubling?
Thank you, James. At least you get to practice your little beep button. Okay, one of the problems faced by, and if we're honest, almost everybody with ADHD is the 3 P's, procrastination, prioritization, and peeing without hitting the toilet seat. No, that is a joke one. No, that should have been productivity, that last P. The old executive functions of choosing what we do, starting a task in the first place, and getting it done are all tricky with ADHD.
You can't start with ADHD. It's one of the only bits. I think I'm generous in this podcast in that I sit back and let you two do most of the work. One of my only fucking bits is this bit. I have one bit and you know what you're doing. No.
Just shush. So, there's loads of reasons why these are hard thing for us to achieve. General executive dysfunction, problems of the brain, aligning what our emotional side of our brain wants to do with what our rational side has planned, and very importantly, both our intellectual bit and the emotional bit of the brain, which I sometimes think isn't even me, both of those things feeling reward from the starting and finishing of this job.
This next bit's going to take a while because she's not even aware of where
we are.
Are
you saying there's a single answer for this?
Oh, no, Sam. No, I am not. And can I say what a perfectly asked question? What for James, et cetera, et cetera.
For me.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. No. So aligning emotional and intellectual parts of our brain to start something, making sure they both agree on that this is worth doing is fundamental. But we're always talking about hacks, tips and tricks for ADHD that either don't seem to ever work or stop working after for no reason at all. Some people can't bear smartwatches. Some people have to use them like me. Some people lose planners like they're confetti at a wedding, and nothing works for everyone. But of all the things that the three of us and most people we think with ADHD know about is body doubling, maybe ding, not sure.
That's a push. That's a hard ding push.
It is. It's pretty basic what body doubling is, and it does what it says on the tin. When humans are next to each other, even online, but that's slightly less so, we have a different set of emotions around intention and action of our behaviours. We can feel more accountable just by being in the presence of somebody, more motivated, less anxious sometimes about doing the wrong thing, about choosing the wrong thing with no one around to check. If someone's there to check, we can be less anxious about that. So one thing that loads and loads of ADHD adults with ADHD do, even those never knew their ADHD and worked this out for themselves, we find out a lot of this, is body doubling. And that means simply working in the company of somebody else, whether they help with the task or not. These are sometimes called accountability partners by people who want to make it sound better than it is.
Does everyone feel that? That doesn't even make sense.
No. Do you remember last time when I said, I'm going to start just making a bullet point for your question so it's less forced and so you can just reinterpret the question for yourself?
Does that work for everyone?
What a perfectly asked question, may I say. So, James, why can't you listen and learn to how Sam does it? No, nothing does. Nothing does. What we're going to say is not true for everyone, and certainly not all of the time, and not even for every type of task. You have to try everything for yourself.
So you're not known as Alex. What?
You're really loud there.
Oh, sorry. You're not known as Alex the Anecdote Monkey. So evidence?
I wish I was known as the Anecdote Monkey. Yeah, there kind of isn't any, not really, not for adults with ADHD, evidence that body doubling helps. What we do have is we have to interpret from other studies. We have evidence that in people in general who are prone to procrastination, when you're working as part of a team, that does help with productivity. And we know that if you look at people's neural activity in their brain, including the activity of dopaminergic neurons, it appears to increase when we're in face-to-face situations. Although online meetings means you see less of that than in meet space, there was still increased neural activity even on Zoom, not as much sadly.
We've got to acknowledge meet space more than that. I know I ding, but meet space. For me, that's a hard ding. That is,
it is hard. Ding's a hard ding. Meta ding.
Hard ding's a hard ding. It is.
What's Sam doing in meat space?
Anything.
What was that? I like the movement.
I'm trying to put together my gyroscope thing because I smashed it just before the podcast.
Yeah,
I saw.
I think it's a sound approach to podcasting. I'm pretty sure that Gabby Logan and that new bloke off of Lad Bible does that during his podcast as well.
I would have liked us to have recorded the moment where you threw it and smashed it, but James said I wasn't allowed to.
Actually, I was recording a body doubling video for our Patreon last night, but halfway through it, I just had a complete meltdown, threw shit everywhere, was smashing shit up and then collapsed on the floor and cried and thought, I probably shouldn't leave this in a body doubling video because it's going to be quite distracting. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it would be useful for people to see because I don't think people see meltdowns very often.
They don't, and they don't talk about
them. I look like a petulant toddler. I'm sorry, I've derailed the script completely.
No. You have, but we infantilize a lot of ADHD and autistic traits, don't we? Fidgety, always fidgety. He's having a meltdown. He's, fuck, I'm hyperkinetic. Fuck you. It really does frustrate me the way we infantilize these words when they're not.
I had a go
at getting back to the script.
Yeah, you can't though. It's impossible.
What we also are, apart from Sam, is social creatures. That's ableist. Not because of the autism, no, because she's wholly unlikable, just to be clear. It was a personal and vitriolic attack. It was not ableist.
That's true.
So we're motivated by the sheer presence of other humans, even if we don't want to be. And for ADHD specifically, it seems that we are externalizing validation of that task. Quite an important thing, even In reality, that external partner doesn't give a shit. It does seem to matter to us, increased motivation. Everyone we speak to knows this can help, even though the evidence hasn't happened yet, the research hasn't happened yet. I'm very hesitant to say this, but you can't easily deny that, even if we had statistics. What would you measure if I can't get something done? I do it with a body double, and I am more likely to get it done. That is routinely and commonly all of our collective experience, right? So there's no stat that could negate that, and that's where research becomes a bit of a millstone around your neck. Time and time again, this is called the ocular test in science, right? Have a look. If there's a giraffe eating your tree in your garden, you don't need three giraffes to prove it. And you don't need to measure the number of leaves in your trees to see if it's still there. That's quite an important difference.
I can see Sam's face. You've used the giraffe thing before, and I can almost.
I know. Yeah, she's thinking really about well to giraffe. Stop myself first.
Yeah, you did.
I could hear it, and I wasn't even looking at you. Yeah.
What if people don't have somebody to body double with?
Like a giraffe, or.
A giraffe would be the worst thing to have because you'd never get anything done.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Not helpful, Alex. Focus. Just before the break, I was talking about how I struggle with friend groups outside of neurodivergent because for lots of reasons. And that's the thing, isn't it? If the idea of people with ADHD needing to body double, and it's not as easy. There are barriers to social connections for us, lots of barriers indeed. If you can't be physically present with someone for whatever reason, then it isn't as good online, but it's better than nothing. And it works for me, actually. I find it quite valuable, online body doubling. Not everybody does.
Yeah, we do. Well, James does body doubling sessions on our Patreon for our subscribers. And I find it useful just having... I could just see them in the background, and it helps me to stop getting distracted. And because I know I'm going to report back in 25 minutes... I want to be able to say that I've done something. So it does really help.
Because of the reasons I've just explained very clearly in my psychoeducation bit.
Yeah, because of those reasons.
Unbelievable. We should have a bit for personal reflection, so you could have shared that then.
Sorry.
We do our body doubling on a Patreon, but there are other, often American body doubling, or co-working, they call it, platforms and apps. I was looking at a few, Flow and Focus Mate, Flow Club, they all begin with F, don't know why. I have clients, I know James does as well, who have tried body doubling. Often they realise it themselves. They will say, oh, I can't tidy my room because I have to get my mum to do it for me. And then I ask them, and their mum's just sat there. It's just the presence of somebody else. It's not a lack of ability, it's a lack of performance, like ADHD. So the take home is that the research hasn't been done. But most every ADHD adult we've ever met recognises that body doubling is one of the more consistent ways to get tasks done. It is not a cure. It seems to work online or face-to-face, and it doesn't need someone who is an expert in that area or that task. It can be useful for home stuff and professional things as well. In general, for all the reasons Sam's just given, a motivation and intention and a bit of accountability without the stress of somebody staring at you and telling you off, body doubling is a really valuable aspect. That's it. That's my body doubling bit, James.
Thank fuck for that. We'll take a break and we'll be back in part two for our personal reflections, including the one Sam just gave, and some tips. See you in a bit.
Bye.
No.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up?
Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 160 of the ADHD Adults, where we're talking about ADHD and body doubling. In this part, we'll be giving our personal reflections and tips. I won't have already given mine, but I haven't given a tip. Ding. James, you're first on the script. Go.
That was really good. I think we need to acknowledge that. Well done.
Yeah, it was really good. I like the go as well.
Yeah,
those are the little signs of Sam's autism that I find genuinely charming and disarming. Just fucking go.
Yeah, okay.
Love it.
I think I'm an ADHD oddity in many ways, in that I don't get much RSD. It's only about very small, specific things. And actually, Sam, I don't. Listen,
even about your hair?
No, I don't.
That's I love mad. Mania. Look at it.
It's incredible. In fact, in a recent thing of a Patreon interview with the Dracula, one of the questions, I can't say that because I haven't released it yet. Anyway, my hair was mentioned. I don't get a lot of
great story, bro.
I know. And I generally am actually quite motivated. I mean, I've just sent you my working week, and I manage most weeks when I'm not ill to do kind of 60 hours in a week and to get most tasks done. But there is one thing that I cannot do without body doubling, and that's emails. And I have to sit in Sam's office. Yeah. I have to sit in Sam's office next to her like a little child while she just sits there, and I say, I've answered this one, and then move on to the next one, and then say, I've answered that one, and otherwise I can't. And in the body doubling we do on Patreon as well, one of the first things I do is I'll say, right, I'm going to try and clear 10 emails in this first half an hour, something that's achievable. And then I can normally do it. I'll do more than 10 just because I know halfway through I'm going to have to report back and say, right, yeah, I managed to do 10. Oh, no, I actually only managed to do 3, but they were complicated and they led me somewhere else. So it's one of these, again, just small, rare examples of an area where I just cannot motivate myself to do these things. And I think a lot of it comes from academia. You know, the amount of emails we used to get. I used to get, you know, on average 250 emails a day, and most of those were reply alls from complete fucking dickheads. But I would happily leave some of those emails for weeks because I didn't care. And I know a lot of people I coach with ADHD can't do that. To them, they have to respond immediately because of RSD and because of imposter syndrome and because of all of that negative internal talk. But I'm fine with leaving them, but I know it upsets Sam. So that's why I have to sit with her and body double and do them, because I don't want to cause her stress. So generally speaking, it does work for me, but I only need it for that one thing. In terms of a tip, my tip, is obviously the charity that we run has a body doubling channel on Discord. Mm. We also have body doubling sessions at 9 o'clock on weekday mornings. At the minute, it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I think we're going to change it to each day because I'm rejigging my working week. If you don't want to use those services, if you can't use those services, maybe there are people that you work with. If your organization has a neurodiversity support group, all you need to do is to set up a Teams channel and have a Teams meeting constantly open. So people can drop into that Teams meeting, for example, or Zoom meeting or Google Meet meeting. Or you can message someone and say, is anyone up for a bit of body doubling ding? And then that means that you can quite easily use the people around you to get stuff done. But the last thing, and this is really important, and I hinted about it earlier, if you go into a session of body doubling, have specific and achievable aims. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to work on this project. Because you probably won't. You'll end up going down a rabbit hole, or the first barrier you hit, you'll just do something else. So set anytime you want to engage in a portion of work, set yourself specific and achievable aims. I am going to answer 5 emails. I am going to write 1 paragraph of text, for example.
That's so good, James. It's a perfect tip. And that's actually everybody doubling and not. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's everything. And literally never said before, ding. That's what you've just said is for every task we ever do, body doubling or not, right?
Yeah.
That's what I do in coaching, is to say to people at the start of every session, is just make sure you know what you're doing, and that under promise and overachieve. Just set yourself something you know you can achieve.
Overachieve.
Yeah.
Another good tip.
Ding. Well, that's me. Sam, what about you?
Sam, got any?
Yeah, well, I've already said that it helps me. It's actually better for me online than in person, because I have lots of fucking sensory issues and stuff and don't do as well when I've got somebody in my space with me. So actually, I much prefer it if people are online, but that's just an entirely personal thing. I've got no problem getting shit done at all. I'm constantly, constantly working and constantly want to work. My problem is staying on task. So body doubling really helps me to stay on task, because I find I can work all day long, but fuck all done, because I'm just jumping around from task to task and doing a little bit, but not getting anywhere. So when I go into James's body doubling sessions, it just helps me because I'll say what I'm going to do. And then I see them out of the corner of my eye and think, no, 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 no. You've got to stay on that task. And it helps me, not always, but most of the time, to stay on task, which is really, really good. I was just, when you were saying about emails, when I got back, we were away for like 2 full days, 3 nights on holiday, and I got back and had 670 emails. And
University.
Yes.
That's why I say it's that age-old thing, isn't it? Do you dip into the emails when you're on holiday and ruin your holiday?
Well, you come I took back to my a laptop with me, as you know, but I forgot to take the laptop charger. So luckily it ran out of charge and I couldn't carry on working the whole way through. But yeah. Alex, what about you?
You've just really triggered a thought, Sam. Such an important fact. When you said that you almost, I think, are you right? And you prefer online body doubling?
Yeah, yeah, much do. Because people in my space annoy me.
Well, I was just thinking about the research that neural activity is higher and there's more of an effect face-to-face online. Well, bigger isn't always better in neural activity. I feel exactly the same way. And it occurred to me that maybe we don't want it to be that much. I would actually find it extremely intimidating and difficult.
Yeah, and I get overstimulated as well. That's the problem.
Exactly. Not with me, you don't. Nobody does.
No. Awful. Sorry.
Apparently, I stand corrected.
Yes. Well, what about you, Alex?
I've already. Yeah,
well, I'm in the middle of it.
How have you? Are you? Yeah. Sorry, I obviously wasn't listening.
No, and nor should you.
Bored.
Yeah. So I built my house that I'm currently living.
You built it yourself.
You know, in the way that people with money do. In that somebody did it for me. I forget who. Put that thing there. Now there. That's what I mean. And the kitchen, I was told many times, don't have your dining room and your kitchen as one room. And what it means is my lovely wife, Lisa, she sits in the kitchen while I'm cooking. And I'm loving cooking. If she sat somewhere else, I'm really lonely and like utterly unmotivated. I can't get a pan out. It really is the night and day, the difference in whether just someone's present. And I mean, she's watching telly even. I don't need anything other than contact online when I'm working with anyone online. I find it so motivating. I'm going to join James, yours, to do my emails because I'm struggling massively with emails. And I also have a dingy task list for 10 a day, but I've got thousands that I've got to at least archive or something, and it makes me feel sick. So I thought, well, of course, I need to do that. Hadn't even occurred to me. I use it all the time. Yeah, please, go on.
Just mark them all as red. They're still there. You can still search for them, but then you end up, we haven't got that red number of like 6,000 to deal with.
The problem I've got is I don't feel it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And therefore I'm paralyzed from doing it. I know what I've got to do. I just, really difficult to do that. I think, again, what Sam said, annoyingly, she just doesn't even think about it, does she? And then she comes out and says all the things I was going to say every time. When you said it doesn't always work, but it works more often than not, that's the key here, isn't it? That it's just... Yeah. It's just something in your arm. Good is good enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. And that's really it. My tip would be face-to-face or online, it doesn't matter. That's definitely a ding. Look for support groups in ADHD, either in your local area. I'm a friend of mine, John, who I haven't asked him this, so I can't share, runs one in Liverpool. There's face-to-face groups, there's online groups. And people within that might want an informal body doubling session with you. Ding! Actually, they're strangers, so stay safe online. Make sure you know what you're doing. That's my tip, James. Meet strangers online, apparently.
Amazing. We have got time for the usual game.
No.
We have. So it's not something that I've lost, mislaid, etc. But as you know, I've really fucked my back up. Like, I'm in a lot of pain at the minute. Even when Sam gave me a hug this morning, she squeezed me, and Jesus Christ, I screamed.
To be fair, it hurts when anybody Sam hugs
anyone. Yeah, I know, exactly. that grip is ridiculous. So
ding.
But But how is it that I hurt my back, Alex? Was it because I had to give a talk yesterday and I didn't check where it was? Said, it's okay, I'll drive there. And it was an 8-hour round trip. Was it because I walked up the stairs wearing socks as opposed to being barefoot or wearing shoes? Or was it because I spent too much time sat in the wrong chair?
Right. This is easy. You fly up the stairs because you're a bat. So you don't wear socks, Dracula. You don't sit in a chair. You sleep in a coffin. So you drove for 8 hours. Simple.
No, wrong. And the reason what? I think this is, yeah. So basically, I've got like comfy sleepy socks, which you can buy in B&M and places like that, but they aren't much money. But they haven't got much traction, mate. And as I was running up the stairs yesterday...
Don't buy those ones. Why are you giving an advert?
No, no. But they're comfy. But what I'm saying is don't run up carpeted stairs or walk over linoleum floor, because it's not easy. And the reason I like the story is because I didn't do it once, Al. I did it three times. I fell over three times wearing the same socks, going up the same stairs at the same rate of speed, because I can't walk up there slowly.
Did you go in beast mode? Do you, Sam, climb upstairs like me in beast mode with your hands on the...
Only if I'm tired.
Round robins then, isn't it, Sam? Anyway, that puts me, I think, 11-7 up or something ridiculous. I'm absolutely smashing you, Al Ding, which is, oh, God, what a thought, brilliant. We'll take a break and we'll be back to answer some of your questions in part three. See you in a bit.
Welcome back to episode 160 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. As always, pretty much for the first time or the first few times, we're doing your questions answered in part three, which isn't called just the tip, even though that was my favourite name for any of our bits. Right, start with question one. Sam, have you got anything? You've got one for us, Sam?
I have, yes. This is from Alex, not you. Hello? Please, could you share the Discord link in the podcast description or explain how to find it on an episode? I've tried to find it a bunch of times and either get distracted, because ADHD, obviously, or just can't find it through Discord, probably also because ADHD. Really enjoy listening to the podcast. It's been immensely helpful in coming to terms with my recentish diagnosis, was diagnosed in 2021. And I really appreciate how honest everyone is and how relatable your experiences are. I especially enjoy the game. Sorry, Alex.
What?
Because every single example, I've done something either the same or similar, and it makes me feel so much better about it. So thank you. Hope your back's all right, Alex, after falling down the stairs three times. I'll just answer this. We can put the Discord link in the show notes, but also if you go to our website, theadhdadults.uk, scroll down on the homepage, the link to Discord is at the bottom, or on the charity's website, because the Discord actually belongs to the charity, not us. It's on the FAQ page of the charity, and the charity is ADHD
Adults UK.
.uk.
Who called it that? What staff bastard called it that?
Yeah. Got in the wrong, yeah, what idiot put the words in the wrong order when they got set up a Twitter account, Al?
Did not know it was going to blow up, to be fair. I thought it was just you and me doing a tweet once a week. Sam, if people want to do Patreon body doubling.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, we accidentally got the Tasmanian devil involved in the chat. That was the mistake. Sam, if people want to do the Patreon doubling, or James, what is it on the website as well?
Yes, it's on our podcast website, theadhdadults.uk, and there's a little tab at the top which says extra content or something, or support the podcast or something like that.
Cheers, and thanks, Alex.
Through that you can then get access to Patreon, and then Sam, I don't know, she does this, she's so busy, will then upload links to the Zoom body doubling thing. And we also have an ongoing, I think, Zoom room or call, isn't there, Sam, so people can drop in and body double even when we're not doing it.
Yeah, and actually, if you don't want to do it live, Ding, I do pre-recorded body doubling sessions, so you can just have me playing in the background and I'll be doing shit Ding. While you can do shit. This latest one, I obviously have a meltdown halfway through, but most of them I don't have meltdowns in, so... Yeah, that you can just have that playing in the background, and things like hobbies. I do stuff where I'm crocheting, and you can teach you to crochet, and you can do it along. Alex, do you have a question for us?
I've got a question about you making poor crochet-related choices. No, I have a regular question.
Love crochet. It's one of my things at the minute.
I think I would like it too. This is from Goo. It says, "Hi, Count James, picture of a Dracula, Dr. Balloonhead,
Professor Balloonhead,
and Tornado Sam. Thanks for a great podcast, something I look forward to watching and soaking my brain in the latest decent info regarding The Thing. My question of this message is, it says a bleeding edge question, but I think that might be a typo on our part, on severely deficient autobiographical memory, SDAM. What's your take on this, and where does it meet with ADHD? Thanks for reading out. That's from Goo. Really good question. Hello. Jane, this is, so obviously long-term memory is good and bad in everybody with ADHD in the same way pretty much as it is with the whole population. But this isn't quite the same as long-term memory, is it? It's about self-awareness. James, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it is. So autobiographical memory is the ability to remember events that happen in your life. So if you think back to your 10th birthday party, Alex, when no one came because you didn't have any friends, you can probably remember sitting there eating cake, you know, on your own, weeping in utoxeter.
I actually didn't have any friends.
And that would be an autobiographical memory. What we know is, and there isn't a lot of evidence, but what we know is that adults with ADHD, on average, but not always, have difficulties in recalling self-relevant autobiographical experiences. So stuff that's about us, not about I went to someone else's like birthday party, for example. And we also know that the reason for this is possibly what we call inefficient source discrimination. And that's the context of a memory experience. Now, if you think about how our poorer metacognition and positive illusory bias, we often think something happened when it didn't happen, for example, that kind of explains the fact that if we don't understand the context of a memory experience, it can impair our ability to recall that autobiographical.
Because we don't have any emotional connection to it, right?
No, yeah, exactly. So it's entirely possible that adults with ADHD are more likely to have severely deficient autobiographical memory because of this lack of context in terms of our previous experiences that have been laid down in long-term memory.
That makes so much sense. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No,
but you know when you're trying to remember where you've left something and you think, I can absolutely... I know that I left it in this place, and you've got such a concrete memory of it. And that makes sense that it might be from another time, but you're absolutely sure that it's from that time. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
What about inattention? Presumably, most normal people, can't say normal, would be paying attention to the birthday party, and we might have been paying attention to an interesting woodpecker.
Or mind wandering.
Or just, mind wandering. I always think mind wandering suggests we want it, doesn't it? But it means our ability to bear focus is ripped away from what we're trying to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, spontaneous God. Mind wandering. Can I just share this? My 7-year-old said to me last night, just before bed, she was singing a song over and over, and she said to me, why won't this song go out of my head? We were doing a test, and I really wanted to do the test, but all I was thinking was the song. And I was like, oh no, I'm sorry.
So sorry, I've given you that.
Ding.
Inappropriate ding.
I think that was a really good question, though, Goo. Thank you for that.
It was. Thank you, Goo.
Yes, thank you, Hyper Goo.
I'll introduce my own question, obviously, because you two are fucking useless.
Come on, James.
So we've got a question.
Clocks are ticking.
We've got a question from Izzy Wood, which says, driving and parking tickets and ADHD, and why do you need to tell the DVLA? What is it about ADHD and driving that makes us a risk? I only just found out I have ADHD. I'm 36. So have I been driving for almost 20 years that's so unsafe? Is there a neuro/psycho/bio explanation for it? People have complained about my driving in the past, but I think this is normal for everyone, right? My students do comment on the way I drive around or to college, being erratic or rushy. I have a kid and stuff, so, you know, I am in a rush most of the time, but is this ADHD? One student's mum, who was also my neighbour, saw a car the same as mine in a ditch, and they just assumed it was mine. I was quite offended because I was like, I'm not going to drive into a ditch, am I? But the whole class thought it was likely. There's a lot in there to talk about.
Oh, there really is.
I want to go to Sam first, just because, remember, she crashed my car because she was looking at builders making a house on our estate. So any thoughts from you first, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I am reticent to talk about it in case my insurers or the DVLA are listening. But yes, I can get distracted by things, and when I do, I will crash the car and have done on multiple occasions. But you don't have to tell the DVLA unless you think that your ADHD has such an impact on your driving that you are unsafe.
Plaques on that, Sam. Let's just reiterate that again. You do not have to tell the DVLA. It's such a great message.
But also your medication. You only have to tell them if your ADHD or your medication impair your ability to drive safely.
Yes. And that's really important. So yeah, and that's and if you do tell them, they're going to take your license off you.
Yeah, they are.
And you, Sam, you had somebody.
I've had somebody that emailed the charity recently that said that just in their consultation with the psychiatrist, they just mentioned that sometimes they can drive erratically. And the psychiatrist said, you need to tell the DVLA that. So they told them, and obviously their license was immediately taken off them. And then you can't challenge that without having medical evidence to say that you're safe to drive. So, I think it would have been best if they'd been given the advice. If you think your ADHD, and this was somebody that hadn't started titration yet, so they might have improved after they'd started titration. But anyway, unless you think that your ADHD or your ADHD meds have a negative impact on your driving and make you unsafe to drive, you don't have to tell the DVLA.
What about generally, James, you go.
Just look at all the things. So if you look at the statistics, we are more likely to be involved in road traffic accidents on average. So not everybody. And if you think about how ADHD presents in terms of inattentiveness, it's easy for us to get distracted. In fact, the letter we had at the start of the episode about dropping a nut in the car and then reaching down to get it. We are more likely to be distracted. We are more likely to have spontaneous mind wandering. So that's not when you start to think about, oh, actually, when I'm going to do this, it's just all of a sudden your mind goes somewhere else and flits from thought to thought. We are more likely to get anger, and that can lead to aggressive driving and road rage. So if you look at collectively the kind of diagnostic and non-diagnostic symptoms of ADHD can make us less safe drivers, but it can also make us better drivers, because if you are risk averse and if you are actually if you're like Alex, if you're the kind of person who actually oh my God, what was it you do? You pretend you're driving a fucking starship or something?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You definitely said that in an earlier episode. We Millennium Falcon.
I have that.
So many of us actually are safer drivers because we are hypervigilant, because we know we've got ADHD. So it varies, as with everything from ADHD, there is no one-size-fits-all description. We vary. Some of us, I get road rage. It's one of the only times I get angry. I'm not really an angry person. You know why? This is all a fucking act, me on this podcast. I'm a very passive person, but I've told this story before, getting out of the car with a pool cue and smashing the door in of a taxi driver, which had an 80-year-old woman in the back because he'd stolen my car parking space, which is ludicrous. Yeah. And therefore, if you look at the collective experiences, on average, we are more likely to be involved in road traffic accidents or to get speeding tickets or to drive less safely, but not all of us. And the last thing I'd like to say, and this is kind of more of a personal reflection, in my discharge letter from a very large organization that do a lot of diagnoses and have a standardized bit at the end, which kind of says, this is some of the, try the Pomodoro technique. It said, you should tell the DVLA you've been diagnosed with ADHD.
Wow.
And that is not true.
No, it's Alex. Absolutely not. Yes, no, I'm one of my hyper focuses is driving, and I'm really risk averse. I love driving, and I hate carbon dioxide going into the air. So I cycle everywhere, like looking mournfully at the other cars. But I've never had a car accident. I've never been close, really. Yeah,
that's when incredible.
I know, and it's because I'm really, really hyper. Always, I find it so. I feel connected to my car more than when I'm walking along.
Yeah, but I don't get that all the time. But sometimes I feel like the car is part of me. And when I've got that, I just feel pure joy. It's like me and the car are one. And yeah, I love it.
What I want to say to Izzy, though, who wrote the letter, is that, and this is might be hard to hear, Izzy, but most people do not get complained about. It's not an ordinary thing to hear, and then this is difficult, but if multiple people are saying that, there is a time at which you might have to start listening to that, because it isn't, if you are putting yourself in danger or somebody else, I would really hate it if we'd gone, oh, it's fine. It doesn't sound like it is fine to me. And there is help. There are things you can do before you...
Narrative driving, for example.
Say again?
Narrative driving, for example, can really help. It's used in speed awareness courses. So as you drive, you say, oh, there's a risk there. That van's parked on the side of the road. There's somebody, there's a woman with a Zimmer frame. She could step out into the road. Narrative driving can make you drive more safely.
It's really good. I always say, how can I make my passengers feel safe? It's not about whether I know I can stop in time. It's do my passengers know?
Yeah, do they feel really that I can...
It's massively important to me. Another one is, I'm sorry, but if you spend all day in hairdressers, sooner or later, you're going to get a haircut. If you'll check your phone or text when you're driving,
I used to spend all day, every day in hairdressers, and I barely ever got my haircut.
Barely ever?
Yeah, no, honestly, it was really hard to get my haircut because I was too busy.
Listen, if you struggle with drinking, you're eating, you're checking your phone, get rid of them from your physical capabilities. Mm. Create a space where it is safe. You can't do it. You can't put yourself in the path of impulse when you're like us.
Yeah.
My impulse control is fucking shit.
Yeah.
Because of my neurology.
Yeah.
You can't allow that for yourself. Think about your passengers. I always say, because I'm a monster, as you both know, and it would be easy for me to have road rage. I say, how can I make people, other road users feel, how can I make their lives better? When I get in a car, because the other alternative, my natural state is how can I fuck shit up? And that doesn't make me feel good. So I try and overtly say these things to myself whenever I'm in a car. So you can try that, Izzy, but honestly, it doesn't sound great.
Oh, they might just be taking the piss though.
It's a lot though, isn't it? I think it's, you know.
But that about passengers, really good. Because when I used to drive my Nan around, I used to try my absolute best to make the gear changes smooth to stay under the speed limit because I knew that she was conscious of that. And I didn't want to, because she'd hold on to the handrail while I was driving along.
Exactly.
I got angry.
I'd be really angry with people who did that because it showed me I was about driving. Really? And then I reframed it as, if they're doing that, what can I do to reduce that instead?
Yeah,
and it
made me want her to feel unsafe. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, same with thing. Hindsight, I didn't.
Yes.
Great question, Izzy. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, right, I'm bored. I'm bored. Should we wrap it
Take
up?
Us so out, then.
That was episode 160 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we talked about ADHD and body doubling and lots of other stuff. If by a miracle you enjoyed this episode, something, leave a review, something, website, join us on Patreon for live body doubling sessions. Find all the stuff that you need, or maybe not, at www.theadhdadults.uk. See you soon. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye all.
Trigger warning, klaxon.
Klaxon, klaxon.
Klaxon,
klaxon.
Big klaxon.
No.
Trigger warning, klaxon.
Klaxon, klaxon.
I basically fucking hate myself. I don't see the point of myself. Why am I even on this earth? There's no point to me whatsoever. I can't. I've been 6 times now. I was supposed to get a blood test in August last year. 6 times I've tried to get this blood test, and every single fucking time I've failed. Why can't I just do a normal fucking thing?
I know.